Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Bidding closed this week for the Trump administration's plan to build a wall along the southern border with Mexico. Some 200 companies applied for the project. Now, of course, the promise to build a border wall originated during the campaign. And here is some tape from May of last year with then-candidate Donald Trump addressing a campaign rally, saying that the Border Patrol experts have told him that building a wall is vital to national security.
It's a vital tool. It's an important tool. It's maybe the most important tool that they can think of. We're going to build the wall. We have no choice. We have no choice.
So a wall may hold back potential migrants if it does get built, but it could also hold something else back. Animal populations that pass through the region on the border from the United States to Mexico. And that could have some significant effects on the entire ecosystem. So joining us now with more is wildlife biologist and host of ABC's Ocean Treks, Jeff Corwin. Jeff, it's good to see you again. Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you, Meghna.
All right. So tell us, are you concerned about the ecosystem impacts of a potential wall?
I'm incredibly concerned about the potential impact of this southern border wall. See, we look at it through the perspective of the human lens of this border, this dot in the sand, this line that's been drawn. But the truth is, this is the Isthmus of Panama. This is this incredible land bridge that rose up from the seas 3 million years ago and became the Great American Interchange, where hundreds of species migrated north and south and south to north. Many of the animals that live in South America today actually evolved in North America and vice versa. Now, today, the Isthmus of Panama, what we call Central America, which we share a border with along Mexico, is a place where hundreds of species pass through to migrate for natural resources such as water or food, for reproduction, for producing their offspring. So this incredible lifeline is a bridge for wildlife. And if we were to obstruct it with a wall, it could have a catastrophic effect. Over 98 species that are critically endangered and threatened would be impacted, and over 100 migratory bird species.
Right. So give us some examples, because, of course, one of the many things that we can truly love about animals is they don't care if there's a border there between human countries. It's just land to them. So what are some of these species that you're talking about?
Meghna, that's a great point. They don't care. It's even more than they don't care. They're not hardwired to negotiate
exactly.
It and move around it. So of these many species, we could look at the Mexican gray wolf. This is a critically endangered wolf species, a wild canine. The population now is about less than 140 to 150 animals. They need this territory to move back and forth. About a third of the population is living in Mexico, and the rest is living in New Mexico and the southern border. And they need this interchange not only for resources, but for good gene flow, for healthy, robust, genetically superior populations.
You talked about migratory birds as well. I mean, what would the wall have any impact on them?
That's interesting. So you wouldn't think a wall would have an impact on birds and other flying wildlife, right? Creatures that take to the air. But we know for a fact that they can't because not every species flies high. Yeah. Many animals like hummingbirds and ground feeding creatures rely on this good, healthy habitat on the ground. There are bat species. 50%. I was just in the Sonoran Desert yesterday watching all
that. That would explain the tan.
Yeah. Or the burn. Watching all these incredible cactuses bloom and realizing that 50% of all the vegetation growing in the high Sonoran Desert relies on bats for pollination and seed dispersal.
There's one more species I want to talk to you about, and that is the one that has, I think, one of the most amazing migrations of any animal on the planet, butterflies, monarch butterflies.
Incredible story of the monarch butterfly. The monarch butterfly goes on one of the most epic migrations of any creature on the planet. They travel from Mexico, where they winter, up into North America, where they summer. But what's amazing is that this migration is done innately. It's done genetically hardwired into these insects. So not one butterfly completes the migration.
It takes multiple generations.
It takes four generations. And all of them, about 98% of the migrating population, falls within that 1,200-mile stretch of where this border wall would go.
Wow. So, but Jeff, the idea of human-built structures interfering with animal migration or animal habitats is obviously we're all over the planet, so it's happened before. But people have come up with better designs. I mean, okay, let's take, for example, highways. Frequently, their highways are built in places where it interferes with an animal's ability to get from one part of the ecosystem to the other. But in certain areas, I'm thinking of, I can't tell you the specific examples, but generally they've built sort of, you could, they've built like, you know,
culverts
or bridges for animals over it. Can we do something like that for a wall?
I mean, theoretically we could, but that would have to be on the radar screen. Wouldn't it? So the thing about building this wall is that it's been done under what's known as the 2005 Real ID DHS, Department of Homeland Security Act, which allows them to waive all federal laws that involve managing wildlife. So they will waive 37 walls. So I don't even think that's on the dinner plate. But if it was, it certainly could make a difference. We've, for example, Magna, seen with the Florida panther population, we've seen potential recovery with what you discussed, these structures known as culverts. Yeah. You go under the highway, except versus trying to negotiate an expressway. We've done that in the West with migrating elk population and other large ungulates, these big-bodied mega animals that need to move back and forth. We reduce car collisions and accidents and allow these animals to keep their contiguous migratory flow.
But obviously that's just not an option.
I don't believe that's on the
entire,
option.
That would undermine the entire purpose of the wall, because if a panther can get through.
If you could create a wall that a black bear could get through, I'm sure a couple of medium-sized human beings could skirt through that wall as well. I think the challenge is this doesn't seem to be part of the planning. And it's more than just the wall, Magna. It's more than just a wall blockading and serving as an obstruction to wildlife. It basically means species displacement when you build this wall. When you build this wall, it's going to pass through 1,200-plus miles of habitat. It includes refuges, national parks, wildlands. It's habitat fragment and destruction. It affects gene flow. It has a huge impact on hydrology and the natural water cycles in these areas. Not all of these are terrestrial animals. And if you're going to build this impenetrable wall, many wetland ecosystems will be impacted as well.
So what would you say to people who listen to all these additional impacts on the wall, but they still come to you and say it doesn't matter because the primary goal of reducing the flow of human migration across the border is their most important goal?
Well, I would answer that with this response. Do your children matter? How important is the future of your children? Because the resources we have today, we've inherited from them. We've borrowed from them. We like to say we inherit these things from our ancestors. I believe, and this has been said before, we borrow from our children. And part of a healthy, to me, great America, we always say, you know, the saying is, let's make America great again. Well, if that is the case, what's a part of a great America? What makes us great? It's our cultural opportunities. It's our marketplace, our educational systems, it's business, all that stuff. But it's also a very bountiful, rich tableau of natural resources that we depend upon. And animals and wildlife are part of these natural resources that makes North America unique, especially as they share this bordering habitat. So if we lose these species, if 89 species fall prey to extinction, which likely could happen, we're talking a handful of jaguars just now showing signs of recovery in Arizona. If their migratory pathway is cut off, they will pay the price for it. And ultimately, it will be our children, because these are the resources that they depend upon, and we are robbing them of these resources.
Just got a couple seconds left, Jeff, because you said you were in the Sonoran Desert just yesterday. Are the wildflowers in bloom? Is the desert
they
in bloom?
They just
right
started
now?
Blooming, and it was spectacular.
Well, Jeff Corwin is a wildlife biologist. He's also host of ABC's Ocean Trek. He's author of a number of books, including 100 Heartbeats, The Race to Save Earth's Most Endangered Species. Jeff, it's always great to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Delighted.
Well, that's it for today and for the week. Have a peaceful and wonderful weekend, everyone. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.